This is Montreal Now with Aaron Rand and Natasha Hall. CJAD 800.
That is James Menney over at the Montreal Gazette. So, Jim, let's start with the advance polls. About those polls, what do you make of all this? Because we're hearing the highest numbers we've seen, I think, pretty much ever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of staggering when you think about it. And it's also a bit of a brain buster here, because on the one hand, you can interpret it as saying people really want to make sure that their vote counts, that they really want to see their party win. And nowhere is that more evident than in the ridings up in Quebec City, which is really a battleground between the Conservatives, to a certain extent, Quebec Solidaire, but also the CAQ. I mean, this is very, very valuable real estate for any of those parties. So we're looking at turnouts of Geneviève Guilbeault's riding, for example. It was over 33%, which is like kind of nuts. We see even in Eric James, who's running a Chauveau in the Quebec City area, he's at 32.53. So this is well over the average. But once again, as I pointed out yesterday, and I was careful, I said, let's wait for the second day. Turnout in what were liberal held ridings is ridiculously low. The winner, the second to lowest turnout in all of Quebec. The lowest was in Ungava in the Quebec North. Darcy McGee, aka Côte Saint-Luc and Hampstead, 10.5% turnout.
So, Jim, let me stop you for one second, because someone texted in, and I think this is worth mentioning. A large percentage of the population in those ridings are Jewish, and the Jewish New Year started Sunday. It ends tonight. There is the thinking perhaps many of those people simply did not go out and vote during this holiday. Maybe we shouldn't read too much into that, and I thought that was worth bringing up.
Okay, so then tell me what the did the texter tell you what the Jewish population is in Robert Baldwin, which is basically out in the West Island. That's 14.5. NDG, my old hood, 14%. So these numbers are down, and they suggest to me that I think a lot of people in those ridings, a lot of Anglos, a lot of Allos, and maybe even to a certain extent the Francophones out there, looking at the numbers that are coming down overall for this election, which already seems to have been won. The only question is by how much. I think a lot of people are just saying, you know what, count me out.
I agree.
I may be wrong. And as I say, you know, October 3rd, perhaps the polling stations in those ridings will be jammed. But, you know, I'm not going to bet on that. I have a sneaking suspicion what we're seeing here is another symptom of all the problems that have plagued Dominique Anglade's campaign, essentially from day one of this campaign, which is a lot of people have just turned their backs on the Liberal Party, but they can't bring themselves to even, perhaps even with the alternative parties, cast a ballot for them, even in protest. I think you're going to see a lot of people take this one out. In the area where we broadcast, in the area where the Gazette is distributed, I think it's great. We'll have lots of people listening to the coverage, reading the coverage, but that said, I don't think they're going to go out and vote.
It's funny because the immediate assumption is, oh, well, there's, you know, voter apathy, right? But in fact, or indecision, but I think it's just feeling like there's a lack of options. And I find it all the more interesting that the Francophones clearly are not feeling that way. They're either feeling compelled to get out and vote because they want change, or they want more of the same. But same sentiment.
You raise an excellent point, because a lot of, I don't think when we're seeing these numbers in the low 30s, well above the provincial average in those Quebec City ridings. And it's not just there. But I think there are a lot of people who are mobilizing. Either the parties are whipping the vote to get out, or people are just going out on their own saying, we realize what's happening here. And don't forget, this is the other interesting sort of subtext that comes up in the latest poll, which came out today. It seems the more people get to know François Legault, the less they like him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a short campaign. I've said that before. Lucky for him. Maybe he saw this coming. But to drop 5 points, over the space of a little over a month, even the pollsters are saying it was a smart move. If this kept on, he'd be in real trouble. Right now, he's at 37% support, which essentially they stay in majority territory, but that is precisely the measure that they had back in 2018 when they got their 75 seats. Will there be surprises? Will there be a shift? Will be a larger turnout on voting day than expected in ridings that the CAQ thinks are in the bag? Are we going to see vote splitting in those ridings as well? A lot of people, you know, this Léger poll after the Radio-Canada debate, you know, it didn't, you know, it moved the needle slightly down for the CAC, but once again, the incumbent, François Legault, of the five people on that dais debating, the respondents to that poll said that he came in fourth at, I think, 9% ahead of Dominique Anglade. This guy is the premier of the Quebec and will likely be in the head of the next government. So if you're getting that perspective from people, and I know it's not, you know, it's to a certain extent it's scientific. A lot of it is just perhaps just reaction to what they saw on the screen. But even today, we see Legault saying, oh, you know, I'm gonna listen to the opposition.
Yeah, what's that about, Jim? What's this, I'm going to start listening to the opposition? What?
It was the same. Listen, the impression that we have been ranting about for months about the arrogance, about the condescension, the patronizing elements of François Legault's character, well, I think a lot of other people are seeing that now. He's trying to come across as, oh, I'm going to be a unifier. Oh, and just to be sure he doesn't lose any of the separatist voters that he brought into his tent over the course of this campaign, over the course really of the past 4 years, he's saying, well, you know, sovereignty is feasible, but, you know, nobody wants it. So this guy is really hedging his bets six ways to Sunday. And quite frankly, guys, I don't think that's the conduct of a guy who's absolutely certain of how things are going to go on October.
You're right. It's not, right? You seem he's actually listening and paying attention to the polls to have to add these sorts of provisos, you know, every other day in his campaign.
But that's nothing new. He's been the poll guy.
It is for him, though. I mean, that's not the kind of attitude you expect from François Legault. It's been his way or the highway all the way through. Last thing I would have expected him to say is I'm going to work with the opposition.
Yeah, they've certainly done it with policy, Natasha, in terms of poll results. Mm-hmm. But in this particular instance, I have never seen François Legault appear to be so conciliatory and collegial in the past 48 hours than I have in the past 48 months.
Well, except towards Anglophones, of course, right?
Well, I think his entourage said, boss, there's an image problem here, and it might cost us.
You know, we had Christian Bork on before. He had a great line, right, Natasha? Yeah. His line about Legault watching his, you know, popularity kind of go down.
He couldn't have tried harder.
If he was trying to run a more uninspiring campaign, he wouldn't have been able to. So people are not buying in, Jim, but it's not going to make a difference at the end of the day.
So. Well, I think it may make some kind of a difference. Will it change the result? No. Will it be the same kind of blowout? I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure. These numbers coming outside of Montreal, which I know we're very Montreal-centric on the show, but these numbers coming out of the regions suggest to me that there may be, might be a majority, but it might not be a big one. As I said last week, this would be almost a biggest slap to Legault as a defeat. Because remember, he was supposed to, you know, he doesn't say it out loud, but everyone's like, 100 seats, this, that. You know, it could be 100, 110. Well, if the guy turns around and he calls 70, that right there is perhaps a very eloquent comment from Quebecers. And once again, it'll be the majority of Quebecers on what they think of the CAC government.
Jim, last thing before we run out of time, we were both a little surprised the numbers that are there. Paul St-Pierre Plamondon really has done better in the last couple of polls anyway than just about anybody else. And when we had Christian Bork on, the question was, he seemed to say, well, you know, people maybe are getting back to their roots with the PQ. And I think to both of us, it was kind of, wait a sec, is this about the PQ or is this really about Paul St-Pierre Plamondon? You know, they said he has the Jack Layton effect here, which is kind of amazing when you think about it, but he is the most soft-spoken of the bunch.
Well, I hate to put it this way, but I believe that Monsieur St-Pierre Plamondon did a good job. The line I usually is, he managed not to set fire to himself or anyone else during the debate. And compared to the performances of his opponents, of course he looked good. He was almost soft-spoken. But the fact is, you know, the day later he says, well, if it was a separate Quebec, the response to Tropical Storm Fiona would have been better. When you go back to that kind of stuff, you know, it's like that's why people roll their eyes. But certainly, in the debates, certainly, he was a breath of fresh air insofar as he wasn't screaming, he wasn't, you know, necessarily reciting the same cassette over and over. And occasionally, he did have some very germane things to say. I don't think it's going to make a difference in the end, though.
All right. James Maddie at the Montreal Gazette. Thank you, Jim.
Adamant.